Blog Talk Radio.
But I know you will come through. Just like you did for Abraham. God, I need you to show me a sign. So today I challenge heaven, cause I feel in the spirit, it's manifestation time. So here I am, Jesus, all I have is your word. Show yourself to be God. I know you won't let me down. Oh, I won't stop believing.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you. Praise God. Amen. For you on tonight with us. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. We just thank and praise God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I had some technical difficulty. I'm not sure if it still is. I could not get on to the line. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I need to just double check the line to make sure that we're on today. I tell you, I got a mighty word from the Lord. God be the glory.
We welcome our Bishop Thurman Butler on. Amen, amen, and amen. I know that God has a word for us, so we are ready.
Hallelujah.
Bishop, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We are all
oh,
here.
My. Listen, to God be the glory. I said, I don't know. Then the Sprint still close enough to go buy a whole new phone. Glory to God. I was having some technical difficulty, but we are so grateful to be on the Block Talk Radio. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. We thank God for the intercessors and praise God, the proxies. Amen. And apostle. And Pastor McNeil, to God be the glory. Hey, man, we just thank and praise God tonight. Hey, man, what a mighty God that we serve. Amen. Amen. We're going to go right into the Word of God today. Hey, man, and God had on my heart, hey, man, to talk about our brother Job. Amen. Our brother Job. Hey, man, one that feared God and assured evil. Hey, man, I'm going to be traveling through that book tonight. Hey, man, I'm going to start out, glory be to God, and the first chapter, that's the first verse. Hey, man, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen, amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. And this ain't the wisdom of Oz. Now, this is a true story now. You know, the book of Job is considered by most theologians one of the oldest books in the Bible. Amen. And some say that the book came in to us sometime shortly before the uh, They went off into exile. Some say that, amen, to God be the glory. Some say that, hallelujah, that this is, book is mainly poetical, but it's also a pictorial book, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And it can be broken up into different parts. But tonight, I want to talk about Job's integrity. I want to talk about integrity tonight. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And I want to jump down to verse 6. The Bible declares that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came with them. Now, we know that the sons of God, they're not talking about us. Right now, we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. But the sons of God that they're talking about is the angels of God. And it's good because it lets us understand, glory to God, that the angels ascend and descend from the presence of God and back into the presence of God. But if I could just lay a little foundation this morning, hey man, glory to God, that wherever the sons of God is, wherever God is moving in, the enemy always gonna show up. Come on. Don't be surprised if the devil shows up right where God is. Now, we know theologically, he cannot show up at the throne of God in the third heaven. That needs to be understood. Satan cannot go to heaven. He cannot come to heaven whenever he wants to. So when it says that they appeared before God, this was God in the midst of the angels, not up on his throne, and Satan came to the throne of God. Amen? We just need to understand that. We need to get that one straight, that God would never give Satan access to heaven again. I'm ready to make a point. Stay with me while I lay the foundation. If God be the glory. He says, there was a day when they came to present themselves. When the sons of God came to present themselves. Glory be to God. And Satan also came. Good God Almighty. Now, one thing about the angels of God, they came to present themselves. They came, glory to God, as an assigned mission to God. They were called to come before God. They was chosen to come before God. Come on. But Satan didn't come to present himself. He came into the presence of God for all the wrong reasons. Amen, somebody. Now, what I'm saying is that because sometimes we come to church and we don't come to God, or we don't come before God for the right reason. Come on here. See, it's not a need for you to come before God if you're not presenting yourself. And the angels of God, the sons of men, they came to present themselves. They came to submit themselves. They came, glory to God, to get divine direction from God. The Bible never says that Satan came to present himself also. It doesn't say that. It says Satan came also amongst them. He didn't come to present himself to God. Can I tell you something? whenever you come before God, now listen, I'll put it like this. If Satan can come when the angels of God present themselves to God, how about when you and I, as sons of God, how about when you and I come before God? Glory be to God. Do we know if he came when the angels presented themselves, how much more do you think he's going to come when you and I present ourselves before the presence of God? See? So don't you be surprised when Satan show up at the church. Don't be surprised if Satan show up on your job. Don't you be surprised if Satan shows up right in the midst of your home, because when the sons of God present themselves, he came amongst them. Amen, somebody. Somebody say, well, how is Satan coming before God now when we come? Well, most times we carry him there along with us. When we come before God, a lot of times we give Satan a ride. I'm going to leave that one alone. We'll catch that. Somebody going to catch that one later. So when they presented themselves, Satan came amongst them. He caught a ride into the presence of God. I'm going to leave that one alone. Now, one other point here. I talked about presentation. I talked about how men present themselves. I talked about the purpose for presenting or coming before God is to get divine instruction. So glory be to God. When they presented themselves, they presented themselves in such a manner that they would receive from God. But when you look at the nature of the enemy, he didn't come to receive something from God. He came because he had to get something from God. It was a protocol for him. It was only, he had one purpose. That was to check the authority of God. The angels came to receive from God, to receive blessings, to receive information, to receive direction, and to carry it out. Satan didn't come for direction. He came for a whole different purpose. And I just want to say today, don't get in the presence of God for the wrong purpose. Don't go before the presence of God for the wrong reason. Everybody else was there, glory be to God, to get a blessing, to get a word to go and bless the people of God, to get something so they can add to the mission of God, to the work of God. But Satan, who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, his whole very purpose was to get something to destroy. One thing about it, glory be to God, it also goes to show us that Satan cannot launch an attack on you without going through the authority of God. Now, let's go down to verse 7. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, where comest thou? Where are you coming from? Glory be to God. Can I tell you something? God never asks a question that he don't already have the answer to. He asked him that, but he already had the answer to it. See, when God came to Adam and me, he's in the garden, he said, Adam, where art thou? God already knew where he was. When God said, who told you that y'all was naked? God already knew the answer to it. Glory be to God. So he said to Satan, from whence comest thou? But God already knew the answer. And the enemy said, Satan said, that he answered him and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Glory be to God. He said, I've been going to and fro and walking up and down in the earth. Glory be to God. That lets us know that Satan has been bound to a certain limitation. He's been bound, glory to God, to and controlled. He's been spoken to a certain situation. So in anything you're going through, don't you think that Satan has a bunch of power to carry out? He's been assigned limited space. Oh, come on, that's one right there. He's been assigned limited space. So he doesn't have free reign in your life. He can't just run roughshod all through your family. He has been assigned limited space. Oh, boy, I'm going to get to that later, because you would say, well, do we have limited space in our life? Has he been assigned limited space in our life? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And it's for purpose. Never for destruction. It has a purpose. To God be the glory. It has a purpose. He was going up and down, to and fro in the earth. When the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? Come on, somebody. That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Now, let me tell you this. He was not perfect in the sense what we call perfect. That word perfect means mature. He was mature in his relationship with God. Glory to be to God. Now, I want you to ask yourself today, are you mature in God? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of God? He says Joe was a mature. That's what that word perfect means. He was a mature and upright man. Here's what? One that feared God. Now that feared God, and I'm teaching, amen, because we have babes on the line as well. See, listen, when it says he feared God, it wasn't talking about he was afraid of him. Glory be to God. When he talked about he feared God, come on. He wasn't tiptoeing around God, but he respected God. He reverenced God. He honored God. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to show you something. He says, one that fear God and eschews evil. That word eschews means, glory be to God, that he deliberately, he purposely avoided evil. See, look, eschew means kind of like, you know, when you see a puddle of water, you don't walk through it. You make sure you don't step in it. That's a type of eschewing. But when it says he eschewed it, it means to a more deeper level than that. That it was effort put. I don't have it yet. It was effort put and avoiding evil. How much effort are you putting forth today to avoid evil? How much effort are you putting forth to praise God? How much effort are you putting forth to obey the word of God? How much effort are you putting forth to find the will of God? It says, be assured evil. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That means he purposely avoided, and he put forth effort to avoid evil. Let me help us now. This was before the exile, then that meant that the Holy Ghost was not in the land. Glory be to God. So perfection can come. People say, well, how can perfection come without the Holy Ghost, when really perfection can't come with the Holy Ghost? Watch. It's because of God. It ain't because of man. You can't keep looking at things from a man's standpoint to God. You got to look at it from a God point to man. See, look, during those days, there were certain margins set for the Christians. There were certain laws that Christians had to walk by. And it's not the same as today. It's because it was not required. The same requirements were as it was today. You see? And see, so that's what made him perfect, because even then, it was a heart thing. It wasn't a law thing. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always wanted a heart. And a heart will always overrule laws. Amen? A heart will always overrule laws. Now, I know that may seem to be contrary to teachers later on in the Old Testament, where God told Saul, through the prophet, he told him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now that says something in itself. But I'm telling you, glory to God, that a connected heart to God is priceless in the sight of God. So Satan answered in verse 9. He asked a question. And he asked the very same question that I believe today he asked about you and I. To Job, fear God. That's two questions. It's a two-part question with one question asked, one state, but it's got to be broken up into two sections. He said, do Job fear God? Do you fear God today? Now, the second part of it is, for not. He's asking two questions. Do he fear God? And what is the reason why? And sometimes, yes, that's a good question to ask ourselves. Do you honor God? Do you respect God? Do you reverence God? And if your answer is yes, you have to ask yourself why. See, Satan is ignorant. But we're not supposed to be ignorant of him. But he's very ignorant sometimes. But he makes a lot of sense, his ignorance. Because he's saying something. But he's coming. See, can I say something? I just tapped in my spirit. Satan never speaks truth unless it's to his advantage. He's the father of lies. But he will say truth. He will allude to truth. He will talk about and around truth. Come on, somebody. If it's to his advantage. So even the question, he posed it the way he posed it, so that it can be to his advantage. He said, do Job fear God? Do the deacon fear God? Do the musician fear God? Do the saints of God fear God? And if they fear God, Why? See? Does he fear God for naught? Is there a reason behind your love? Is there a reason behind your salvation? What is the reason? Because that's what we all need to ask ourselves. A lot of us, we go to church, and we have still haven't figured out the reason why. Some of us, glory be to God, we love God, we go through, we hold on, but we know why. See? Let's just pick it up there. Satan calls himself dry snitching on Job. He said, "Has not thou made a head about him?" He said, "Oh, that's a reason to praise him right there. Don't you got a head around him? That's why he served you. That's why he fear you. That's why he love you, because you have a head around him." And I want to let somebody know that God got your back. God got you fenced in. God has built a hedge around you. You have a band of angels around you. Glory be to God. You have been placed in safety with the angels of God encamped around about you. And if you are hedged in, y'all ain't talking yet. Glory to God. The devil can't touch you. And Satan himself in this verse is telling of his limited power. He said, "You made a head about him. God did it. We didn't do it. God did it. God put the hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hand." Thou bless the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. What he's telling is that God is really not him at all. I know it's you. Good God Almighty. How many of us know that it's God and not ourselves? How many of us know that it's God doing it and not we ourselves? Glory be to God. Hallelujah to God. Listen, how many of us know that God will hedge you in? He'll bless your hand. He'll bless your family. He'll bless everything that you do so that you would increase. Come on, somebody. So that he would increase. Amen. He says, "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." Good God Almighty. He says, if you decided, he was asking God, decide to speak a word to cause some tribulation to come in their life. Now, how many of us can always praise him long as there's no tribulation going on? How many of you can praise him when things ain't so good or when you're not on the mountain? He told him, "Put forth thine hand and touch all that he has." Oh, glory be to God. How many is willing to sell all that they have? To give all that they have? Come on, somebody. How many of you will lay out everything that you have and yet maintain your praise? Maintain your love for God. Hallelujah. Will you still maintain your confession? your profession about God. How many would still, glory be to God, keep your integrity? He said he will curse thee to thy face. You know why he said to thy face? Because the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Come on, somebody. He's beholding the evil and the good. So anything that we do, anything we say, any response to any situation, you got to know that the face of God is watching. And sometimes we do stuff in the face of God, and God has to turn his head and blot it out. These are spiritual concepts that Satan is very familiar with. Amen. I don't know. I'm going to go there, but this is a Holy Ghost imagination. In Genesis 1, in the dateless past, I'm sure everything that Satan did, he didn't do that in God's face per se. But God seen it. God knew it. He didn't do it in the face of God. But you can best believe that God knew it. And some of us have to be more conscious of the face of God. More conscious of what we say in the presence of God. More conscious of the things we do because we're in the face of God at all times. And sometimes we just don't believe that we are. But I come to tell you today, you are in the face of God. Satan didn't know. Lucifer didn't know at the time. Till God confronted him. Adam didn't know at the time. Till God confronted him. Job didn't know at the time. And neither will you know at that time until you lock in or focus in, tap in with the Holy Ghost and see the revelation that God, you're always in the face of God. It'll change a lot of things for a lot of people. He said he will curse you to your face if you put forth your hand. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth your hand. Good God Almighty. Somebody ought to be shouting all the way to glory right now. He said, only put not forth your hand. Come on here. It's something to shout about, to know that, glory be to God, God will limit the devil. God will limit the enemy. God will limit the attacks. Come on, somebody. He'll take the pain away. He said, put forth your hand. Take all that he has. He'll curse you. And God said to him, I'm not going to touch him. How many people know God ain't going to touch flesh? He said, you can't bother his soul. You can't bother his spirit. Huh? Come on. But God, But God said, you can put forth your hand because all that he have is in thy power, in the authority that I gave you. I want to let you know right now, in that time, God had given Satan power, allowed him to reign still in power. It was given from Adam. Adam and Eve gave the power back to God. to Satan. When they sinned in the garden, when they disobeyed God, they gave power to Satan. But it was still limited power. He still were not able to operate beyond the power that was loosed in the earth. The power that was loosed in the earth was not the same power that God operated from heaven. Come on, somebody. So God said, all the authority that they handed over to you, all of the wiles of the devil that you operate in, you can loose it, but don't touch. Come on, somebody. He said, but only upon himself you cannot put forth your hand. Don't touch. Come on, somebody. And that's something to shout about. That hallelujah. He can't do no more than the Lord has allowed him to do. So he told him, only put forth not your hand. Now God, Satan tried to tell God to put forth his hand on Job, but God don't touch flesh. This is my point I was making. And the only thing God was going to let Satan touch was flesh. Come on, somebody catch that today. God don't touch flesh. Somebody said, put forth your hand and touch. Oh, no. Can't do that one. But I will allow you to put forth your hand and only touch his flesh. Ha, come on. You can't touch his soul. You can't touch his spirit. And I won't touch his flesh. But I will allow you to touch his flesh. Glory to God. Some of us need to get our flesh stirred up or touched, that we can recognize in the spirit that we have to deal with that dead piece of meat. That's what flesh is. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. No good thing dwelleth in the flesh. All flesh is as the grass. It shall wither away. You see? So God don't touch flesh. He don't save flesh. He don't anoint flesh. Flesh is from the dust of the earth, and from dust it shall return. God does not deal with flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So flesh is no good in the kingdom. God is not going to anoint your flesh. So he told Satan, you touch it. But upon him, can I take my time? I just want you to see that. He said, but upon him. Listen. Upon him, put not forth your hand. So that means that you are more than your flesh. Your flesh is one thing, but you are a whole other thing. Your soul is who you are. A spirit is who you are. Flesh is not who you are. He said, go ahead and touch that flesh. That ain't him anyway. So if we learn to walk in the spirit, then we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't partake in the lust of the flesh. We are not a part of the flesh that we have to carry around. Just certain things that while we're in this atmosphere, called earth. You have to carry it along with you. Amen. Come on, we know the story. Let's dig in a little deeper. Amen. While we have a little more time, let's dig into the story. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Now, we're going to stay right there. He went forth from the presence of God. And he carried it all out. We know the story. Attacks came one right after another. Tragedy came right one after another. He lost his servants, his sheep, his she-asses and his daughters and his sons. Attacks one after another. And Job maintained his integrity. We got a little later start tonight. And I had to do this totally different. And I didn't tap into the spirit of where I really wanted to talk tonight. But I'm following the Holy Ghost. But I wanted to come from a whole different direction concerning integrity. God was ministering to me earlier, glory be to God, about integrity. Because integrity is what kept you. I'm going to have to pick this back up next week. I don't even know if I should release this until next week, but I'm going to touch it a little. Integrity is what kept Job. It wasn't power. It wasn't faith. It wasn't his praise. It wasn't his knowledge. It was his integrity. And I want to let somebody know that integrity will keep you where faith won't. They wonder how you say that one. Integrity will keep you where your mind won't. That's, I'm talking about your spiritual way of thinking. Integrity will keep you when you're blinded by the light of the enemy. If you have integrity, you have power. God never said that in the face of attack, you have to overpower it. Y'all ain't talking to me yet. But you know what? What causes us to be more than conquerors through him that love us? Glory to God. What make us victorious in every situation is our integrity. Because integrity will bring faith. Integrity will withstand attack. If you have integrity. Job went through a lot, but he stood. Satan didn't understand. He said, well, I've attacked everything that he had, and he's yet standing. So chapter 2 and verse 1 says, again, there was another day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came with also. He came also amongst them. Glory be to God. To present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan. The Lord said to Satan, where, whence comest thou? He answered the same answer and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? My God, my God. God already knew the answer to the question. Hast thou considered my servant Job? And I want to let you know, it's not always a dishonor when Satan chooses you. Sometimes it might just be an honorable thing. See, listen. He considered Job because there was none like him. He considered Job because all the authority that he had, God, the God in Job, withstood. God told him, all that is in thy power, go ahead and do. And Job withstood it. I want to ask you today, are you withstanding the attack that the enemy is coming at you with? Are you withstanding the wiles of the devil? Are you withstanding principalities and powers? Are you withstanding the rulers of the darkness of this world? Are you withstanding spiritual wickedness in high places? Well, glory be to God. If you are withstanding those things, then there's no more realm for him to try you on. There's no more realm for him to attack you on. Because you are withstanding all the demonic realms of the enemy. But Satan don't go to God against a lot of us because he knows, glory be to God, we don't get past the realm of flesh. He knows some of us are still at the level of trying to conquer flesh. Some of us are struggling trying to conquer pride. Some of us are struggling trying to get a mind of Christ. Some of us are struggling trying to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And glory be to God, we're not even overcoming those things. So Satan has no need to go to God, to ask God, can I attack Bishop? To ask God, can I attack Apostle? To ask God, can I attack the choir member? To ask God, can I attack the pastor? Glory be to God. To ask God, can I attack the things of God? He don't have to go and ask for permission to attack anyone. Come on, somebody. Because we have yet to conquer the demonic realm. God, the enemy is not going to go ask God, can he attack you? When he see that you can't even overcome your own mind. Hallelujah. You can't even overcome your flesh. We sit there and watch for years. Christians go around in a circle. Up and down, in and out. And you ain't got to go to God for no more authority on you. It was an honor that for Job that he had to consider another level of authority. Oh, somebody gonna catch that. If you stand in integrity. I know this is gonna have to be a part two. I'm running out of time. Yeah, to God be the glory. Y'all pray for me. I knew it was something about this message. And I thought I would be able to travel through it much faster. I am not there, and I confess I'm not there. But it's so much more. I almost don't want to go into this second phase of attack because this is where the meat is. And the oven is just getting warm. I might be able to let this simmer for about a week. And I can't wait to deliver the rest of it. Oh, it was an attack then. Because he knew he was getting exposed tonight. But for the last 2 minutes I got left. Let's talk about the honor that Job must have had. Let's talk about the way that God seen Job. God said he was a perfect and upright man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. God said that there was none like him. God even placed his word, hallelujah, up against Satan's. Can God bet on us today? Can he bet on you today? Can he bet on me today? If Satan was to come with God, and I mean, I use the terminology of bet and a hypothetical term, not actually betting on you, but can God stand on your relationship with him? Can God vouch for your heart? Can God, hallelujah, stand, hallelujah, when it comes to knowing that you're not going to cave in or give in to the things of the world, to the things of Satan? If somebody asks God, do you think that they're going to make it through? Will God be able to say, yes, my servant is going to make it through? That's how he felt about you. Have you considered my servant? My servant. Can the Lord call you his servant today? Glory be to God. I want to tell you, we got to come back next week, saints of God. You got to come back. Know why? Glory to God. It was more in here than I was able to deliver tonight. Part two, here we go again, another part two. But you know what? It's going to be good. Read it. Read into chapter two. Next week, I'm going to go over to chapter 40 to close some things out, to show you that God moves in the whirlwind. Don't you think he don't? God will answer you in the whirlwind. I'm going to tell you what whirlwinds are. I'm going to tell you what spiritual wickedness is. I'm going to tell you, glory be to God, how satanic attacks and contrary winds will come at you. But God will answer in the whirlwind. You got to come back next week. We got to pray, glory be to God. No, glory be to God, mechanical malfunctions, no anything that I caused. I seen what I was doing wrong tonight. And it robbed us about 3 minutes. Hallelujah. But we need so much more. Would you come back? Would you come back next Tuesday, 6 p.m.? Come during the week on the same blog. There's so much meat being prepared on MCI Radio. I need to meet you there. Again, I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, 1910 Darby Town Road, in Ranco, Virginia, on the Richmond border. You need to come. Let us stand in your corner. The apostles encourage us today on Facebook. You are a champion. David was a champion. Samson was a champion. Come on, somebody. And you are a champion. Undisputed Truth Ministries, where we make champions in Christ. Amen. Come on, let us help you. Stand in your corner. Because if it's in the Word, it's undisputed. God bless you all. See you next week. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been a million days and a million nights. Oh, I still remember how your love changed my life. Not enough words in my vocabulary to express how I feel. And I still pinch myself just to see if it's clear that a man ain't supposed to cry. But I'll put my pride aside. I'm so happy you're still in my life. You got me like, oh, 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 how I love you. And that will never change. Oh, 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 how I love you. Forever and ever and ever. I know I don't deserve. See, you know.